From Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing. Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find a project. You got to lay it in the unmarked grave of history. Welcome in, everybody. It is the At Home Show. Just slightly delayed this morning from our normal start time, but since we have the power, we have the power. So everything is good to go. That's much better. I'm hearing it now.
Okay. I can now hear myself.
Okay.
Slightly.
Well, you hear yourself talk. We had a small cable issue. Okay,
this is our first time signs Michael, and so it's a little. Even though we went through it all last week, I think there was a couple of things.
Well, something was connected that wasn't necessarily
connected. We either did not
absorb
it, or it was not conveyed. There were assumptions are always a dangerous thing.
We were listening with one ear, perhaps.
I was trying to listen with both, but perhaps I was distracted.
David, it's a glorious day in the neighborhood.
It actually is a glorious day, and it's for this day that begins summer. We are really looking forward to having sunshine conditions today. It's already 79 degrees here in the Music City, and looking out for the rest of the day, it will be mostly sunny. Then we've got the chance for some thunderstorms.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every day,
mm-hmm.
Except for Thursday, which I'm going to go ahead and throw it in for Thursday as well, because there's just always a chance this time of year. Could be a couple of days, maybe Tuesday, where we might get a substantial amount of rain, as it looks currently. Sunday and Monday, maybe a third to four-tenths of an inch, but otherwise it's going to be seasonably warm. High of 92 today, 87 Sunday, 69 low, 87 Monday, 83 Tuesday, 84 Wednesday, on up to 87 again on Thursday and Friday. So, we're looking at a less dry week. And I don't know if you guys have noticed or not, but the conditions around, there's quite a bit of dust. So we're ready for some rain. And again, currently it is 79 degrees here in the Music City.
Speaking of dust, I'm surprised it wasn't in the weather forecast, but I understand that we're going to have a dust from the Sahara Desert that will be in our neighborhood next week as well. Have you not seen that?
I haven't seen that. Now, what I have seen, however, is 4:38 today, the official start of summer. Also, for those of you who are willing to stay up for another, about 17 hours, there is an annular eclipse, but not happening here. You can have to watch it online. Just make sure that you understand that you don't have to wear those safety glasses watching it on the computer. That's only
you don't have to look through a hole in a piece of paper onto the ground.
You don't have to do that. You can just watch it straight from the computer. But that's going to be about 1 a.m. local time. You would have to be living in Africa or parts of Asia to see it. And, of course, an annular eclipse.
Happens annually?
No. It is often referred to as the ring of fire. And what that means is that the moon is at its, I believe it's perigee. I might have my terms incorrect, but the moon is at its first, it is an elliptical orbit the moon makes around the Earth. It's not perfectly circular. So it is at the point where that it's going to eclipse the sun, but the moon is furthest away from the Earth. The result of that is when the moon is furthest away from the Earth, it doesn't quite cover the sun disk. So what you see is it is almost all blocked out except for a very thin ring of fire all the way around it. It still will blind you if you look at it. So there,
even on the computer,
there will be no actual totality, because an annular eclipse never totally covers the sun disk. So you won't get to see the all the special effects that go with a total eclipse like we experienced 3 years ago.
At 615-499-6690 is the number to dial. To call in, you'll leave a voicemail. The one, the only, the Prince of Porton. Look at him. He's wearing his... He wore pink again, pinkish.
He's got some shades of pink in there. That's a transitional shirt.
He's a stripy kind of guy, so...
I looked deep in my closet for this shirt today, so I hope you enjoy it.
You even ironed it, it appears.
I did not iron it.
Oh, okay.
I'm not using iron in like 20 years.
Really?
Except that was what my mom did for me.
Except if it's a 9-iron, right? Not even that.
I don't even do those good.
Yep.
Oh, my. But you can just get the steamer out and do that. All righty, folks. We're here for you. It is a Saturday morning tradition. It is the At Home Show. My name is Josh Carey. That's
and
David Bates.
And I am David Bates, right? Okay. And thank you, Chris. That helps a lot right there. I can actually hear myself somewhat now. That may be actually a little too much there. A little bit. There we go. There seems to be all or nothing almost. So maybe there's something in between there. But... we've got a wonderful selection of hydrangeas out here to speak about. And the time that I intended to spend doing a small amount of show prep got consumed looking for a cable connection that we did not find. So it could well be that my description of these will be less than complete.
But, why?
Because... You know, my brain has turned into kind of a
you got pink ones,
sieve.
You got white ones.
Well,
you got green ones.
People really expect a little more than that out of
it. Deep red is nice back here too.
This is an invincible. This is a type of Annabelle hydrangea, and you see an Annabelle right here, just to my left, to the right of the screen. This is Annabelle, and you see them flowering a lot right now. They're really beautiful.
Okay,
great summer show.
Looks more like a Susie
to
me.
This is called Invincible Ruby. There's also one called Invincible Spirit that is a more true pink, but the Invincible Ruby is a deeper one, and as you see, a ruby red. So, and the good thing about it, it will keep that deep color throughout the flowering season.
So, okay, we see the Yard Boys out there watching and listening this morning.
We got some limelight hydrangea patio tree forms up on either corner here, so right behind Josh and me.
So you've got them highlighted?
We got them highlighted up there, the limelight hydrangeas. And I do have tucked in here in the corner one hydrangea that is not in bloom, and that is an oak leaf cultivar, of which there are many.
Okay.
And oak leaves, of course, do flower. But like all hydrangeas, all hydrangeas that flower on the current year wood, if you trim them, or the previous year wood, I should say, if you trim them, it won't bloom that year.
Okay.
So now, that doesn't apply to Annabelle hydrangeas simply because they flower on the current year wood. So no issue on those.
But, now, I think
but your garden hydrangeas are often that case.
That's just the garden variety, though, right?
Well, they're... Some people think they're special.
Well, yeah, I think the Yard Boy is asking for a spelling on that annular. He's spelling it A-N-A-L.
No, that's annular, which is a...
And a ring of fire?
That's a different phenomenon.
Oh.
Have we got him on the line here? Let's bring him up. Yard Boy, are you there?
What's going on, guys?
It's just Saturday morning. It's time for the at-home show,
it's,
man.
It's annular, and that is annular is derived from the Greek word, I believe, annulus, which refers to the word ring, like
Greek?
A ring around your finger. That's why it's called annular, not annular. That's a different phenomenon.
He is from Petersburg, so it's just a pronunciation thing, right?
It's all Greek to me.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Yard Boy.
Yes, sir.
You've been teasing us through these many weeks. Is there an announcement that you would like to make on the At Home Show and make a worldwide announcement, or at least a...
Well, sir, there is an announcement to make, and that announcement is as of noon this past Wednesday, I am officially a registered write-in candidate for alderman in the town of Petersburg.
Okay, now, so you're a registered write-in candidate. So what is it?
That's correct.
How does that process, how does that different from being a regular registered candidate? It means that you don't actually show up in the booth. Your name doesn't, people have to come in equipped with the information and write it down.
That's correct. My name is not on the ballot. So it's my responsibility to let the public know.
Was that done with intent? Is there a reason you didn't want to actually be on the ballot per se, or did you prefer to be a write-in candidate? Does that denote some special signification? Or?
Well, you know, I've pondered, I've gone back and forth several times of whether or not I wanted to actually run for office again. And following some recent events that transpired at the last board meeting, I saw what the board was trying to do, and they were actually trying to limit the number of candidates. And that's when I said, you know what, it's time for this to stop. And the deadline was this past Wednesday, and I went in and registered myself as a candidate.
Now, they have the Board of Aldermen has how many seats, Corey?
Well, before June the 2nd, it was supposed to be 7.
Okay.
Three of those are up for election on August the 6th.
Okay.
At the June 2nd board meeting, they actually attempted to reduce that from 3 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
But various citizens made calls to authorities with the state of Tennessee and Nashville, and yesterday, a notice was posted about a special call meeting that was held at 6 p.m. last night, exclusively on a telephone call. It was not even a live meeting. It was a telephone call. And that resolution was rescinded. So it's back to what it originally was.
In Petersburg, when they use the term rescinded, does that mean it was sent again? Is that what that means?
No, sir.
Okay.
That is R-E-S-C-I-N-D, rescind.
I got you. Okay.
Now, in the last election, how many total ballots were cast for the alderman seats? Because there were some of them.
Total ballots cast, I'm not totally sure.
Okay.
Josh, I do know that there were 4 seats available in the 2018 election, and only 2 candidates were actually on the ballot. And those 2 candidates combined received about 60 votes.
Okay. So,
Chris?
So let me ask you a question, Yard Boy. As a writing candidate,
sir,
can someone come in and have 2 writing candidate choices when they go to the polls?
Actually, you're going to vote for 3 candidates in this election because these are all at-large seats.
Are there other write-in candidates besides you?
No, I am the only write-in candidate that is registered with the Election Commission.
So that answers your question. Then it can only be 1 valid write-in candidate. All other write-in candidates that might go on there would be invalid.
However, if you look at the ballot, there is 3 write-in options. So
if that doesn't make it confusing enough, then you know, we'll just go ahead and add a few more lines.
Yeah, can we write your name in twice?
Well, I'm not going to sit here and tell people to write my name in 3 times on the ballot. I'm just going to say there is an option to write in a name 3 times.
Okay.
Interesting.
So vote early and vote often.
Early voting begins July the 17th.
July the 17th. Now, Corey, even though we don't have a dog in the fight, I mean, we're not citizens of this.
We got the dog, but we're not in the fight, is what you're saying.
We got the lead dog. Okay.
Actually, I could rent you a room above my garage, and you could register as a voter.
Ooh, okay.
I may need that.
Okay. Now, Corey, would you accept the endorsement of the at-home program should we bestow it upon you?
Do I have to?
No, you don't have to. But.
Yeah, could I ask you a direct question?
Okay. All right. We're going to. We have the whole board here. We have a quorum, so we're going to vote. And now we're going to vote as to the.
It's a block vote, right?
A block vote.
Notice you're leaving Michael out of this decision today.
Well, Chris has his proxy. Okay. So I mean.
Okay.
All right. We'll take Honora's opinion as well. Okay, but should we do it as a voice vote, or should we get have the register?
I think we could just nod.
All in favor of Corey being the Town of Petersburg alderman candidate officially endorsed by the At Home program with Josh Carey and David Bates, signify by nodding your head. Motion carries. Motion carries. You are the official candidate.
All right. Well, all good deal. And you know what this means.
Well, we have to. If anybody asks, we're going to have to, I guess, provide equal time should anyone else ever want to come on. And
yes, you will.
And we'll be glad to do that. And I'm sure that they probably have points they'd want to make. So.
For sure they do. Now, you do understand that now that I am an official candidate, you do understand what this means is going to happen.
Controversy?
It means that there is a pending assault charge somewhere against me that I will be going to jail for, most likely.
Okay, they just hadn't figured out how to send it to you? They're going to register?
They hadn't figured out how to mail it to me yet.
All righty. Well, Yard Boy, other than that, it was awful dry last week, so you probably got caught up on your lawns, didn't you?
I'm actually almost caught up.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, stripe them as you see fit. Keep them cleaned off.
Hey, have you shared us out to your Facebook pages? What I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually in the process of that, and whenever I hang up, I will do that.
Okay.
So.
All right.
All right.
Very good.
Yard Boy, congratulations.
Yes, sir.
You will take this. You will make Petersburg great again. Okay.
Well, we'll take it one step at a time.
All right, my friend. All righty.
Great to hear from you.
Okay, Yard Boy is a very concerned citizen, and he takes pride in his town of Petersburg, and he's an old friend, and we have a lot of fun with him. But he's dead serious about this, folks. So, I mean.
Hopefully he's more serious than dead.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. 615-499-6690. Join us. We'll get back to talking about hydrangeas and whatever it is that you want to talk around about
and
your house.
We do invite you to share this out to all of your followers. We really appreciate that. If you're watching on Facebook,
invite your friends.
Yeah. If you're on YouTube watching us, well, by all means, subscribe. That way you'll get the little notification each week when we come on or when it becomes available for post-watching, which is... always an option. We're also out on Twitter on the Bates Nursery Twitter site. So if you happen to follow that, all 68,000 of you over there as well. So check us out. We're here to talk about what you want to talk about. It is a call-in program, 615-499-6690. The way it works here, because we already had Yard Boys number in there. Now you can do one of two things. You can call and leave your question that you have, whatever that might be, and leave that with us, or you can call and leave your number and we will listen to that and call you back, and then we'll discuss what you want to talk about. So either way, you can also text us. We have text messaging capability at the same number, 615-499-6690. Or you can message us out on our Facebook page, The At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates.
Margaret Roberts wants to know where to send the campaign contributions. You can send them to the nursery here, should you like to. It's 3810 Whites Creek Pike, a care of the At Home Show. We prefer cash.
Are you going to be responsible for dealing with that? I'm not dealing with you.
Josh Carey, treasurer.
No. I don't have a dog in that fight. We just got the dog, so, but that's okay.
Hey, just shout out to Darren Morrissey out there, Brad Harkeye. Good morning, Brad. Lee Murphy, my dear bride, Renee.
Thank you very much.
Ed Clover. And it's just a few. Jocelyn Bates, cousin. There. Yes, Jocelyn shared that. So thanks to all of you. And tune in. I build this as the Father's Day edition.
Uh-huh.
Because tomorrow is that day.
It is.
And as proud fathers, and we both certainly are.
Yes, we are.
Well, it's great to have a day where that we can be...
What? You know, dad.
We could be just dad. We don't have to be anything more special than that. No, just dad. Okay. And what makes that a great thing is...
being a dad.
It is. You know, it's its own gift.
Okay.
That's the way it works. So we invite you to call in. If you've got a dad story you want to share with us...
Dad
jokes. And I will just start off with this. Let you... see my Well, I went the wrong way with that.
You did that earlier, too.
You
got this cable thing all messed up all over everywhere.
The system that we use here is confusing to me sometimes about which way I go with it. I only use this once a week. So, and there's my son, Jason, and my daughter, Sarah, and, of course, my lovely bride, Renee. So those are the people who are responsible for me being a father.
Yes.
So I'm grateful to each of them. And then, Josh.
Uh-huh.
Here's your wonderful family.
Yes. Please. Okay. That's maybe my lovely bride, Diana. My youngest and tallest daughter, Erin Kimberly. And sunshine on the end there, Eliza Blair. So
there you go. So there's the
they'll both be home tomorrow as well.
Right.
With their cats.
So do you guys have major plans for Father's Day?
Captain plans or anything like that? I've heard of a rumor about a charcuterie tray and a trip to Arrington Vineyards. So, I mean, we will see what happens with that. It's usually a surprise. You have a phone call there, young man? Or a tip?
Thank you. This is Renee, and I have a question about Trex and Trex-type decking for Josh. Do they make a product that combats the slickness that it can get when it's wet?
Shoes.
Like one for stair treads, etc. Thank you.
There are different ones. The different composite deckings that are out there have all different kinds of textures to them.
But they're all made of plastic, though, right?
There's some of them that are more solid plastic, some of them that are capstock, some of them that are composites of wood and recycled garbage bags or trash bags and those kind of things like that. They have some texture to them, Renee, but it's just like even a pressure-treated or a cedar deck, when you have a smooth surface and you have liquid on top of it, you have a potential for being slippery. Okay. Now, my biggest problem with all of the composite deckings, and Trex is kind of the Kleenex of the industry, is that if you have direct sunlight onto that surface, it absorbs a tremendous amount of that heat and retains it. So it gets very, very, very hot. I'm not a fan.
Yeah,
that's my personal opinion.
And you have
opinion.
To use some very specialized fasteners to.
Again,
I mean,
hidden there are concealed fastener systems, and there are different kinds of systems. Now, you will notice that in a lot of cases, where the concealed fastener systems, be prepared to take a check with you when you go to get them. They're not inexpensive. They're gorgeous. You don't have screw holes. You don't have to worry about those little things, but they're very special.
So the issues you and I, this was after the show a week or two ago, mm-hmm. we were discussing the issue with decking screws and how that some of these, there seems to be a reaction that after so many years that the fasteners can literally dissolve.
Well, and again, the proof is in the pudding. Now, again, this all started, David and I's conversation started with the deck around the aluminum swimming hole at the proving grounds
right.
There. That deck was built when there was a transition from chemical compounds that were used to pressure treat the woods, and there were certain reactions with certain types of metals and electrolysis, and you're more
right.
into that chemical type of stuff. But at the end of the day, what I saw was that the deck boards had normal weathering and some things, but around the fasteners and screws themselves was a significant amount of deterioration of the wood fiber as well as the fastener itself, which leads me to believe, I call that a sign, David.
That is what we call a clue.
Okay. There's something going on there. Now, what that means is if you're using a Torx head or a star bit or a star-headed screw or square heads, it makes it really difficult to get those things out.
Well, it's almost impossible, particularly if the threads have completely decomposed,
yep.
they don't. There's nothing to grab to back
and
out.
And you saw
just
a few
spin.
Examples of what it was right. that I had in some of the boards that were going on with it. Now, it's something that you have to deal with. Now, the good thing about pressure-treated wood in comparison to the composite deckings as a whole is price. without any question of the word there. But there are the downsides is that you can have more deterioration. That the trade-off there with the Trex or the composites or of any one of another varieties is that you not going to have that, but you have all those other issues. Because Renee is absolutely correct in her assumption. I have seen some of those some of the composite type decking products that look slick when they're dry. I mean, it's just the
finish. Well, I can tell you in much of the greenways, which are wonderful around yes. Nashville, by the way, and not just in Nashville, but in other areas as well, Trex is the preferred material of choice simply because of its durability.
Well, and again,
but if you're riding a bicycle across it and it's damp at all, and you make the slightest turn, you're going down.
A heavy dew.
Going down. A dew is really where it's, I think, the most dangerous because it's just slightly
and
wet.
And in wet situations, whether it's on docks or there's no chemical leach at all. So, I mean, there's no real problem in my mind with pressure-treated products at all anyway. But there are different chemical compounds. If you go down to the coast, affectionately referred to as perhaps the Redneck Riviera, in around the port areas and the dock areas there, it's pretty much predominant. But you better have your flip-flops on or your sandals or your Crocs, because you're not going to, at noon on a day like today, it's going to bring a blister up on those little toes if you're not careful.
And, you know, that's something we all wish to avoid as well as we possibly toes. Can, because it's uncomfortable. And we don't like being uncomfortable. By the way, here is our list of our YouTube site right
oh
here.
Oh, my goodness.
And you can look back there and see all of the past episodes that are mm-hmm. up there. So we welcome you to go over there and check that out. Mm-hmm. Because you do get a notification that way. So check that out. And we hope to have you coming on board regularly here at the At Home Show with Josh Absolutely. Carey and David
you
Bates.
Can, but if YouTube, you can go out at 3 o'clock in the morning and watch the At Home Show. What's greater than that?
There is something I want to get here, Josh, because
what's that?
Well, because we're featuring something today that I think is really important. And I've just got to make sure I can get to it here.
Okay.
It seems like Facebook, they change it just before I.
Before you sign in every
just
day?
Just before I sign in every day, there's a whole new set of, where do they move the button to? Where is it today? So anyway, or this button reacts differently than it did the last time.
No.
So maybe this gives me, no, it does not. Anyway, well, maybe I'll come up with it here in a few minutes, but I had a really nice picture of Josh that I wanted everyone to see. Oh, here we go. It's just down the line here.
That's a nice one.
No, that is nice.
Uh-huh.
There's a nice picture right there. Now, this comes courtesy of Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
And this is a nice little I love these little how-to shots that show what you should and shouldn't do. And here is clearly was a crane operator that was mildly overextended. Talk about having a splitting headache. That will give you one right there. So, anyway, 615-499-6690. Josh, you've led a varied life.
Uh-huh.
And as a military brat, can you come up with a list of all the places you have lived? Now, you don't remember, I'm sure, where you were born, unless your memory's really good. But according to what your parents told you and your birth certificate, where were you born?
Fort Carson, Colorado.
Fort Carson, Colorado. Okay, uh-huh. And then from there, where did you guys move?
Fort Polk, Louisiana.
Okay, so you went from the mountains to the lowlands.
Where everything that creeps, crawls, or flies right. lives, according to my mom.
And you were how old when you moved from Louisiana?
To Hawaii, to Schofield Barracks.
To Schofield. So you went from Louisiana to Hawaii, which is, I think, by most people's terms, is a mild upgrade.
Yes, it is. Yeah, so, absolutely.
And you were how old when you moved from Louisiana to Hawaii?
About 18 months is what I...
So you don't really remember that then?
No, I don't remember eating a roach
okay,
on the floor.
Now how long did you live in Hawaii when you were there?
Until I was just before my fourth birthday.
So you have some... sketchy memories of Hawaii.
Oh, but, yeah. I mean, going to the pineapple stand, driving around, getting your feet wet at the Haleiwa, I believe is what it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
On the other side, bro.
No, he's
you
on
know what I'm talking about.
So you come down out of the mountains at Schofield Barracks, and you go down, and you right. went where the Fly Boys used to have their little club.
Yeah, out there, out in Haleiwa is where which is very near where a lot of the back at that time where a lot of the sugar cane processing was done, and that sickening sweet smell there in Waipahu, which is another town nearby, which is where most of that
you drove through the Dole Pineapple Farm, and they literally had a stand on the side of the road. I do remember this because they served it on a white paper plate. They would just slice it directly up over. Oh,
did you ever do because that would have been since, but back, they used to, at the Dole Pineapple Factory, you know, I took a tour there one time.
Oh, did you?
And you go to the drinking fountain, it's got pineapple juice coming out of it.
That didn't do that.
Nice chili. It was quite tasty.
I'll bet it was. No, but.
I'm pretty sure they didn't recycle it, which you didn't drink. I'm pretty sure they didn't. I want to believe that they didn't.
Same color, but that's okay. Yeah. And you, from Schofield Barracks?
So, from Schofield, you went where?
Miami, Florida.
And how long were you in Miami?
The year that my father was deployed to Vietnam the first time.
So that was 66. 66. So at that point in time, you were?
I was not old enough to go to school.
Okay.
Okay.
And, all right. Now, from Miami, you then made, was this the big move coming up, the one that was the... Was this afterwards when you went to White Sands?
Oh, no. Good gosh, man.
So I'm jumping way ahead.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So from Miami, you went where?
Fort Meade, Maryland.
And how long were you in Maryland? You're from everywhere, Josh.
I am. See, okay. Fort Meade, Maryland.
He talks about being a Smyrna boy, but really, you know, he's a Baltimore guy. Yeah,
we'll get this to it. But Fort Meade was for about a year. Then Dad went to Command and General Staff School at Fort Benjamin Harrison in Indianapolis.
We all went to Indianapolis.
Yeah, went for 6 months. We went.
So you're a Hoosier also.
Nah.
Okay. I'm just saying.
It's okay. From Fort Benjamin Harrison, we were transferred to Würzburg, Germany, where Dad was attached to the 3rd Infantry Division there. And then from there, he went back to Vietnam. We went back to Miami. From Miami, we went to Edgewood Arsenal, Maryland. From Edgewood Arsenal, Maryland was when we went to White Sands Missile Range.
And now, you were there for several years, were you not?
Just short of 3. White Sands was a long posting for us.
Yeah. And was that enough time for you to mark your territory where people will go, oh yeah, that kid?
Oh gosh, yes. Oh yeah, we were that was approaching the middle school age in that point in time. And my
okay, now of course your dad, obviously he was, although he was well into his rank, he was not the CO, he was not the commanding officer of the base by any stretch.
Oh no.
And did you ever have a chance to get to meet the commanding officer?
On several occasions, yes.
Okay, you care to share any of us the little details associated with?
Well, our house on Goddard Avenue was right next door to the general's residence.
That Goddard Avenue, as in Robert Goddard.
Yes. Okay. We were the father of
space flight.
Yes, and the general's General Proudfoot, in particular, was he used to ride his bicycle around his traffic circle that was in front of his residence, mm-hmm. and we would ride the bicycle, we were quite the scamps in those days, and there was not a lot to do at White Sands Missile Range. I mean, we had a movie theater, but they changed it once every 3 weeks, whether or not they needed to or not, and Bowling Alley and other things. But I think you're alluding to the time where there might have been a 60 or 72-inch lawnmower borrowed from the compound.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen to anybody, right?
You know, and if you're not real familiar with that kind of equipment and you take out a section of the general's fence.
Oh, yeah, that gets their attention.
Yeah, the MPs, they don't like that.
And that was not intentional.
Oh, no.
But
no.
You weren't fully versed in the complete and safe operation of the machine.
No.
You knew how to make it go, though.
Stopping was the problem. absolutely. But when you're the next door neighbor to the general, you don't get, even if you're not the person that was actually on the lawnmower.
Oh, you're guilty by association.
Oh, yes.
Now, this other person.
I was the only one that was identified in that situation. There were about a dozen of us.
And you didn't rat them out, though, right? You kept it quiet.
Oh, gosh,
yes. You just went in and took the blame.
Well, I mean, that just they were all colonels and majors and captains' kids. So basically, they just sent the engineers out there, put another post in, and we got a reprimand.
So did this enable you to get to have a one-on-one meeting directly with the base commander?
I used to ride the bicycle with General
Well, I'm
Prophet.
Talking about, but as a result of this incident, did you have a face-to-face
No, that was
with
the
him?
Provost Marshal that was there. There was the chief of the MPs at there.
So how far did you go on this mower? I mean, you drove into the yard and drove through the fence.
I was not on the mower.
Okay.
I was not driving the mower. That was just, now, I was on the front deck.
Apparently it did stop. Because it didn't run through the fence on both sides, only on one side.
It just, it rolled up on top of it just a little bit.
I'm just trying to figure out, they had riding mowers way back then?
Oh, gosh, yes.
Way back in the day,
yeah. Yeah, we had all kinds of nice stuff there. But, you know, that was it knocked down just one, maybe two sections of the hurricane fence. I mean, it just took them, sheared them off right at the ground. So, I mean, it had quite of an inertia. It was a... So,
okay, you get through White Sands, and you're what age at this point?
I am 14 years old.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. So, now, where do you move from there?
We went to North Carolina, Wilson, North Carolina.
Okay, now, and that's where you spent your formative years, your
some of them.
Some of them. And how long were you in the Carolinas?
3 years.
3 years. So, 14, 15, and 16. Did you make it to 17? Were you
just shy of 17.
Okay. So okay. You were in the Carolinas at that point.
I was 15, I guess, when we got there. Yeah. Okay.
Now, is this where your dad retires from the military?
My father retired at White Sands Missile Range.
Oh, so okay. You actually moved to Carolinas just as a...
He was from, again, we moved to Wilson, North Carolina, but dad was from a little town called Elm City.
Okay.
Which is between Elm City, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, folks might be familiar with if you listen to a certain afternoon drive station that has numbers and letters in it. Mr. Ballantyne is from Nashville, North Carolina,
right.
Which is just up the street. Wilson is about 45 miles north of Raleigh.
And there's a town that has a very strange name. It sounds like it's a foreign planet. Is
Lucama?
No, Zenobia? No, is that it? Is it? I've seen it on the interstate there, but anyway, but I'm sure that that's not the only. Begins with a Z. I do know that for sure.
Okay, there's all kinds of towns.
Anyway,
okay.
So you lived there for how many years?
3 years.
3 years. Mm-hmm. And what precipitated the move? That was when you came to Middle Tennessee, correct?
Well, again, my father was in the by that point in time, his specialty in the service, but when he retired, was he was a personnel man, and he took a job at originally he worked at Alton Box Board in Murfreesboro and or in Wilson, and he had a lot of friends, and he took a position working for a fellow named Linwood Mercer, and Mr. Mercer decided to open up transport drivers here in Nashville, Tennessee, and that was one of the original.
So he was a personnel guy.
He was a personnel guy, but they opened up transport drivers, and they were a truck driver leasing firm to folks in Middleton.
And your mom was a travel agent.
Uh-huh. She was.
And so you're... In keeping with the fact that you guys had kind of already been everywhere, she just was, I guess, went everywhere else.
Oh, she loved to travel. I mean, it was just, and again, she was, that was bad. They used to book airline flights out of catalogs and paper tickets and handwritten tickets until the Sabre system came
out. When a travel agent really
earned their money.
Oh, yeah, because it was. There was nothing digital back in the time. It was physical tickets in hand, brochures to the places. There was no internet, none of that kind of thing back at that time.
We only had three TV stations.
And so, and when did your mom finish? When did she hang up her travel agent career?
They had again. It was the office in Smyrna was opened up. When the office in Smyrna was basically shut down, she is when she decided to go to the house.
Okay.
So,
and that was
I was already out of the house, so it would have been 80s, later 80s. So.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Mm-hmm. So, and
okay.
Then you got married in 86, is that right?
The first time, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
The first time?
Yeah, the last time too.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Well, And
why does it? Is everybody enjoying this?
It's time to get it documented. You know, all about Josh Carey. He's kind of a mysterious guy. Am I not right, Chris?
I think you're correct. And one of the questions I wanted to bring up on this episode today was the fact that you've been in a softball coach and coach of many youth for many years, or used to be.
Yes.
What was some of your best teams? Did y'all win championships? Talk about some of those experiences.
Oh, the Mighty Mighty Panthers took the whole league a couple of times, or one time.
Was it Aaron was on that team, or both, or Aaron and Eliza both?
No, thank goodness they were never on the same team for very long at the same time.
Because they're just more than 2 years apart.
Yeah, they were. The age groups just didn't work out that way. We actually won. The Panthers won the league 1 year, and we weren't the Blue Raiders. Yeah, Blue Raiders won one time. We were the Raiders. Blue Raiders won, and I don't think the Bumblebees won anything.
They didn't sting nobody.
That was Coach Pitch. But we had some very good teams, and it was rec league ball. We didn't travel, so I mean, there's nothing wrong with travel ball, but we didn't travel. But we won a couple of them. We lost a bunch too, so I mean, that's okay. Well, enjoyed it. You know, it was one of the most rewarding, folks. If you ever get a chance,
enough games, you're going to eventually lose some, right?
Well, that's true. That's true.
Hey, yeah. Let's talk for just a minute. You know, we're all here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. Invite everyone to come out. Today
is it all over about just Josh?
No. Oh, okay. We just want to take a break. Everybody's probably on pins and needles. I want to bring it down for a notch.
Oh, okay.
And we got a caller coming in here in a minute, so we will bring him on board here just in a moment. So, okay. It is Saturday.
Yes, it is.
By the way, the first day of summer, and what that means for us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center is that once summer begins, we're no longer open on Sunday, so we will not be open tomorrow. But when you come out today, even though it's warm, you will be greeted with a couple of things that really make it nice. One is ice, and the other is water. And you put those together, and what do you have? Ice water, bottled ice water, which we have available in a couple of locations around the nursery. So nice. Nothing worse than being a dehydrated gardener. So when you come out today, you're going to find those either in the perennial area or up near the front checkout area. Pick up a bottle of water and shop around. The amount of hydrangeas that you see around today are indicative of the tremendous selection that we have of garden-type hydrangeas, paniculatas, oak leaf hydrangeas. We've also have the Annabelle cultivar, so check those out. We've got a lot of them. There's a place in every landscape for some hydrangeas. They are really one of the most wonderful of deciduous shrubs. So check that out. And, of course, if you've got questions about your lawn or your landscape, take photographs on your smartphone or your tablet, bring those along with you. And our experts here will help you to discern what's going on in your particular landscape situation and help you to get the right plants in the right place the first time. We still have, by the way, a large selection of vegetable plants. So if you're late getting your garden out, or you just didn't get around to it, or maybe something didn't perform quite well, we still have a tremendous selection, and they're in really good shape. Particularly if you want hot peppers and tomatoes, those two things we have covered. So hot peppers, we got them. Come check us out, Bates Nursery and Garden Center. We're conveniently located 1 mile north of Briley Parkway at exit 19 on White's Creek Pike. That's just minutes from Rivergate, Opry Mills, Nashville West, and worth the drive from anywhere. Check us out online at batesnursery.com, where we still have our website up available for curbside pickup or for delivery, and you can schedule all that right online at batesnursery.com. So thank you for giving me that moment there, and we hope to see you out at the nursery today or sometime soon.
All righty, we're going to go to the phones, and looky here who's on the line. It's the world traveler, cable guy, Michael Stevenson. Michael, are you having fun on your vacation, bud?
Oh, yeah, I'm loving it. It's been very, very relaxed. I've been in Savannah like 20 years.
Okay.
So are you still in Savannah, or have you moved on to your second destination?
Oh, no, we're still in Savannah. We're getting ready to leave and come back, and then I'll go to the Gulf Shores in like 2 weeks.
OK. Okay, very cool.
Okay. All right.
Now, you posted a, and a part of the homework that I put up for the at-home show was Michael's video of his. You were at Tybee when you took that video of the wind and the sea?
Yeah. The weather was nuts because the only good day we had to go down to the beach where it was hot and get in the water was Thursday.
Uh-huh.
The first 3 days of the week, the highs didn't get out of the 70s.
Okay.
And it was cool. My wife was wearing long sleeve shirts. My little boy had to wear a jacket. We'd go down to the beach and walk around, but the wind was blowing so hard, it just looked like a dust storm.
Well, it really did look like it was blowing about 20 or 30 miles an hour on the beach, and that gets you sandblasted out there. And also, did you make it to the Crab Shack?
I did, and that was really, really good. And I tried to get my sister to go. She wouldn't go with us, her and her boyfriend. It was so is everybody else, and she's like, I don't want to eat at Joe's, I don't want to eat at Chain. I'm like, this is the original Crab Shack.
Yep.
And it was really cool. It was really cool. We had some gators, had some birds there, and of course, I got the snow crab, which was delicious.
Ooh, my goodness! And now they had the gators out the last time I was there. It was in the winter. They weren't real active. So, but well, awesome.
So here's. Mm-hmm. Here's some Michael's little video shot here that he took.
Now that's beach living right there, folks. I can tell you that. We have your image up on the light. Now the wonderful thing about Tybee is look at the depth of the beach itself, Michael. I mean David. And were they riding the bicycles out there on the beach?
So, a couple of days they were, but it really was so windy.
It looks like it's at least 100 yards wide.
Oh, it's just amazing. Okay. So where did you stop? Did you go right in off of the main drag there? Of course.
Yeah, we went on the public access, which was kind of neat because I think after 8 o'clock, which of course over there the sun seems like the sun's up to like 9 something. You didn't have to pay for parking. I mean, of course, when there was the parking was available, you had to pay for it too. But the other thing happened. I should have sent you a picture of this. There was Portuguese man o' wars that kept washing up.
Oh yeah. They had a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah. But it's the Brazilian man of wars you got to watch out.
Brazilian man of wars. Sorry,
they only speak Portuguese. Yeah.
Well, they were washing up, and even though everyone's in the water, occasionally someone come by and say, you really should be careful. You can be in the water, just be careful.
Watch out for the floating balloon. Yeah, you're okay. But awesome, man. Well, you're back in studio next week.
Next week I'll be back.
All right, buddy. But be safe coming home. All right. Thank you.
All right. See you guys.
All right. Now, that is neat. I would not want to be out. That would be a little.
For contact lens wearers, that is a nightmare because you talk about something that will light your eyes up. Even if you don't wear contact lenses, that's pretty rough on you. Fortunately, it stays fairly close to the ground. It didn't appear to be getting picked up way high.
I'm surprised he didn't have his anemometer because I was guessing 20 miles an hour. Would you say at least at 20 miles an hour?
That looked pretty close. I'd say 18 at least.
18? Okay.
Yeah. So, where's Jim Cantore when you need him?
Well, you don't want to see Jim when he shows up, right?
Well, something likely bad is going on.
All right. All righty, folks. We are 615-499-6690. We've got some time to get some more stuff in here. If you want to talk about what's going on at your house or if you've seen some other things along the way.
Hey, we'll give a birthday shout-out to my buddy Thomas Farr. So happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Thomas.
Thomas, I hope you're having a great day today. I give a shout-out to Caleb Nixon, who's watching. So glad to have you on board. And you probably got some over there. I'm looking at a different site, different stream that we've got it out there. So if you've got others you want to give a shout out to, we'd be happy to do that. It's a good time of year to be getting things completed around the garden. For some people, it just gets too hot. There's something that a little subject I want to touch on is that here at the Garden Center, we had an incident where that a guest this week very diligently was wearing her face cover and she was not able to breathe well enough in the heat and she was overcome by heat. So consequently, an ambulance just came out and I believe she's okay now. But I just want to kind of, encourage people to look for opportunities when you're outside, and if you feel like you're in a situation where you need to be wearing a face cover, also give yourself some space from time to time and pull that thing down and where you can actually breathe. It's we're unable to keep those on throughout the day by any stretch, simply because you cannot breathe in the heat and humidity on one of those for extended periods of time.
No.
So I hope that you will forgive us and not. We do keep them with us, but it's physically is not possible to be out of doors and wearing those throughout the day. I don't know what will happen with regard to sports going forward. I can't imagine athletes wearing those and participating in the sport, be it football, basketball, hockey, even hockey, where it's comparatively cool, going to be pretty tough. They sprint up and down the ice. So, part of the active part of summer is, moving around a lot, and that may cause you to have to maybe give yourself a little more opportunities and more space if you feel like you need to, because you're going to have to pull that down and be able to breathe. I encourage you, don't drive yourself to the point where that you're feeling short of breath. You got to be able to breathe.
All righty, we had from Kay. Kay says we need some garden questions, David. And not that my life story is not fascinating. Thank you, Kay.
And you certainly don't have a garden variety story.
No.
Colorful life.
She would like to know about trimming tree form viburnum, which are similar to hydrangeas. She said right. Hers is getting top heavy.
Yeah, and that's a great question. And certainly viburnum, depending on the variety, they are generally deciduous, which means they drop their leaves. It could be somewhat semi-broadleaf, which means if the winter is not too harsh, they can retain quite a lot of their foliage. But regardless, you could trim them whenever you get ready. Now, many of them are in flower right now. You may want to, if they have already passed that flowering time, it's really a great opportunity to cut them back severely. When I say severely, you can cut them back the whole head of it. Like one of these, you might cut it halfway back. You could cut it more than that. Really bring that branching structure in tight. Also, take the opportunity to remove the sucker growth. That's little shoots that come up and down the stem.
Suckers.
But you don't want to see leaves. You want it only coming out of the top. So remove any of those around. But it's a really good time to cut those back severely and also fertilize while you're at it. And what fertilization does, it gives it that added nutrition that it needs to be able to push out new growth and return to the vigor that it's showing and have that new growth on there. So good idea to cut them back right about now, particularly right after they flower.
And with these pop-up showers, they're probably, that top heaviness is probably not doing them a whole. They're going to self-trim if you're not careful.
The viburnums and hydrangeas both, you see a lot of them that kind of get the heads laid over on them. When those flowers are full of water, they become quite heavy, and the stem simply can't hang on to that much of water. You'll see a lot of Annabelle hydrangeas, and we have a large patch in our yard in a bed area where there's 10 of them planted kind of in a triangle.
They're
in full flower right now. If we get some of the rains that are forecast this week, they're going to flop down and look kind of bad.
That is not a triangle.
Well, you're just looking too close. In my mind, it was a triangle.
Okay,
you got to trust me on that.
A trapezoid, at least, right?
Parallelogram, maybe.
No, you didn't connect the other end, so it couldn't have possibly been a parallelogram. Oh, my goodness. All right, 615-499-6690.
And that's why we needed to have the Josh Carey edition of the Father's Day special.
Yeah, do you like my new shirt, by the way?
Okay. I think we've seen that one before.
No, this one's new. This one's new. I'm going to be able to write these off now.
Are you a member of the Shirt of the Month Club?
Stitch Fix.
Pardon me?
Stitch Fix. Are you not familiar with it?
No, I don't know them. I'll send you an invite.
Okay.
By the way, I'll give you an update on my hand since it's all been about Josh. I did get my pins this week. You see, there's no pins. I got one little tiny little scab left on there that's almost healed. Still got swelling. I can't really make a fist.
It hurts when you do that?
It hurts.
Don't do that, Dave.
I know. They're telling me to do it. I have to do stretching and. So anyway, I've got pressure garments on there to try to reduce the amount of swelling, the edema that is being exhibited. So, but it is improving, and so thanks for inquiries and concerns about that. And I think I've learned my lesson
about closing the gate yourself at the end.
I've done it for years, but so I'm not going to abandon because I made a terrible mistake one time. I'm just going to be a lot more careful.
Well, good for you. Good for you.
Yeah, good for me.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah, safety first, okay?
They always say safety first. What's second?
Safety.
Oh, and then I guess safety's also third then.
No, I know that you have your, whenever you have a staff meeting, you always start it out with a safety note. I'm sure that you do that, don't you, David Bates?
Oh, yes, okay. We do.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
matter of fact, I had an hour and a half meeting with my insurance company yesterday where we went down the entire list of every protocol and procedure that we do. And so it's... there's a lot to keep up with to run a safe operation, to okay. have people who are engaged mentally and being safe. And it doesn't happen, as they say, by accident. I made a mistake. Others need to learn from my mistake. You know, and I was not hurrying. Mm-mm. But I wasn't focused on what I was doing. And this is a prime example of what can happen when you lose concentration. And 7 weeks later... and it'll probably be at least 7 or 8 more before I have anything like normal movement again. So it's a painful, slow process. But there you go. You know, I got that one out of the way. Hey, Cliff Gooding, good to see you this morning as well. Appreciate you giving a shout out.
And Adam Kaufman said that he was in a Chinook unit out of Giebelstadt in West Germany.
That's easy for you to
just
say.
Just south of. Hey, man. You can go to Kitzingen too, man. I mean, that's all kinds of good stuff out there. It was a wonderful time. My mother and father loved it there. So again, I was a little guy those days, though. I don't remember.
You have no memory of that at all.
Oh, absolutely. I do have memories, but
now, did you ever go back to Germany?
Not yet.
It's on the to do list, right?
Well, one of these days. Yeah, I'd love to go back to Würzburg itself. I mean, there was a post. Dad worked his rear end off. I mean, it was 18-hour days for him.
There's a lot of places to see in the world, and of course, right now all travel is kind of in a very much flux state. So hopefully, we are able to get to a situation where that there are. A greater sense of what we have known as being normal.
And they don't get arrested.
I don't know when that's going to be. And none of us know for sure, but hopefully we'll get back around to it in the not too distant future. Well, Josh, we've about used up this hour.
Well, we started late, so should we end late, or should we just end on time?
I don't know. I'm just saying we've about used it up. I'm trying to order here the fact that. We're running out of time.
Well, okay. Well, Martha Ann wants to know about your insight on the sassafras situation. And this is from Jocelyn Bates, the sassafras situation.
Sassafras situation. Well, I will tell you, I'm in unawares of the sassafras situation. I will tell you this. I was a couple of weeks ago, I was up in Mont Eagle hiking. And there were sassafras seedlings coming up.
Really?
Everywhere. Yes. Now, one of the things that does that will affect a great many people, if not almost everyone, is the emerald ash borer problem. Now, and if you have ash trees on your property, if you don't start treating them, you will lose them. We will lose all ash trees, both green ash. White ash, probably, I guess, European mountain ash as well. They are all susceptible to the
ashes.
Emerald ash borer, and it will kill the trees. And what also can happen is that the trees just fall, so they're quite dangerous. So be on the lookout for ash trees. They're going to be coming down whether you like it or not.
Yeah, cover your ash if you can. Okay, everything is great.
Or apply a systemic herbicide.
Nora, thank you very much for joining us again this morning.
Thanks, Nora.
And Chris Ladd.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, the go-to guy, the designated hitter when we need him to go through here. David Bates, thank you for being here.
Hey, Josh. Thank you. Maybe we'll find out more about Josh in another episode.
I think we've learned all we need to know, but that's okay. All right, folks, next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 here on wherever you want to see us, YouTube, Facebook Live,
Twitter,
Twitter,
LinkedIn.
Maybe, but we're going to link it. We're going to share it.
I keep
it out
putting
there.
It on my LinkedIn page, so you can check it out there.
Share it on LinkedIn so they can know we're out there.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next Saturday morning for the At Home Show.